Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Purdy Insurance. Visit Purdy Insurance on Market Street in Sunbury or visit online at purdyinsurance.com. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Great to have you with us, brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. Auto, home, life, business. Absolutely the best in the business. You know, a motorcycle, boat, whatever it may be. Okay? Whatever it may be. It's all at Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. Great to have you with us on the show today. And great to have Mr. Cotrillo alongside today.
Good to be back in the saddle.
And this is after, by the way, his romp through the neighborhood, where essentially he just took people's candy. Oh, and by the way, the kids got a couple.
See, I only take the candies that I like, and everybody else can have the rest.
All right, what did you take?
I'm a big Kit Kat guy.
Kit Kats.
Yeah, that's my number one go-to. But I also like my M&M's, regular M&M's, no peanuts. And I love Twix. So there you go. Those are my go-tos.
Left Twix or right Twix?
I'm just plain old neutral.
How gutless. Pick one.
I'm just the classic kind of guy. That's just how I roll.
Yeah. Okay. I just handed it out last night. Then went back over to practice. Our play-by-play call of the day. I mean, we could have picked the Vikings, Cowboys finish. Matt didn't want to do that. Too painful. Could have picked something the Astros did. Didn't want to do that. So we go with Pat Freiermuth. Snipe is nice and safe.
Fourth and goal at the two. Here's the snap. He's back. He pumps. He fires for the end zone. And it's juggled in the back of the end zone. What do they call? Touchdown, Pittsburgh! Pat Freiermuth, the Penn State rookie.
Bill Hillgrove with the call. All right. On the Steelers radio network. And now that the Eagles are going to go to the Super Bowl, they might face the Steelers.
I would love to see that happen someday, an all-PA Super Bowl.
Oh, could you imagine this show if that happened?
Oh, it would just be nuts.
I mean, it's not. I mean, Thursday was nuts. Oh, what happened Thursday? Oh, that's right. Guess who made another appearance?
That's right. That was good quality radio, though. For the most part.
Hello?
Is this thing on?
I left the room at one point. What is that? I mean, I left.
Get the lingerie on the deck. Call the janitor.
All right, let's bring in Corey Geiger from DK Sports Pittsburgh. Corey, welcome. Great to have you with us.
Steve, good to be with you guys. Hope everything's going well today.
Everything is going well. Thanks. Appreciate it very much. All right, so what were your primary takeaways from Saturday night in Columbus?
Okay, well, people don't like the phrase moral victory because, you know, it sounds bad. It's like, okay, you're okay with losing. And I don't think Penn State is ever okay with losing. But if you just throw away moral victory, if you just throw that phrase away, I think there were a lot of positives to come out of that game. And here's my number one takeaway. Steve, I felt a lot better about the Penn State football team after the Ohio State game than I did after the Illinois game. Because after the Illinois game, you're wondering, wow, if they could lose to Illinois, they could lose to anybody. Well, after the Ohio State game, I think Penn State came out, played a good football game against a fantastic team. I mean, Penn State couldn't run the ball at all and still was in the game, which is amazing, Steve, if you think about, you know, that imbalance. So I felt better about the Penn State football team. I you know, you're kind of back on track thinking that they can still do some positive things here as long as Sean Clifford stays healthy. And here's another takeaway, Steve. Steve, you agree with this. I thought they played better from start to finish in that game than they did in the 2016 game that they actually won. I thought Ohio State handled the 2016 game really for the first three quarters before Penn State had a great fourth quarter. But I thought in this game, Penn State was right there, toe-to-toe, was the better team for a good portion of the game.
I think the way I looked at it was I thought both teams played with a lot of guts. I thought both teams played with a lot of guts on Saturday night, because I think that's the kind of – because they're far more evenly matched, I think, than people realize. I mean, it's – and I also thought Penn State's approach – They've been about 57-43 run to pass on first down. They were like 61-39 pass to run. I thought they're on first down. I think that approach really played out well for them because they moved the football.
Yeah, sure. You go back a lot longer than me, and I do think with a healthy Sean Clifford, they can play with people. Obviously, we saw it against Iowa. You know, when he throws the ball well, I'm just concerned. I've never seen this level of a disparity between the pass game and the run game. I was stunned that Illinois was able to beat Penn State with 357 rushing and 38 passing. I've never seen a team so one-dimensional, just completely one-dimensional, be able to beat Penn State. Penn State's usually able to win those games all the time. But I'm just really concerned that Penn State is so one-dimensional. I know everybody wonders how that is. Is it the offensive line? I don't think it's a running back. To me, it might be the system or the scheme. I mean, I don't know. But, you know, to have 33 yards rushing and you still had a chance to win the game on the road at Ohio State, that's mind-boggling.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting about the Illinois game. There's no question they control clock and they shorten the game, but they only got 10 points out of the approach, too.
Yeah, sure. Yep.
I mean, and two trips into the red zone. They got, you know, that's what's interesting about that game is like everybody the 357. I said, yeah, they got 10 points. Right? Now, if they got 30 points, I'd be like, oh God, yeah. But 10 points, that's what really struck me.
Yeah.
Dotson's a marked man in every game, and yet he still had. What, 11 catches in the ball game? Washington, they both had over 100 yards receiving. What did you see in the Penn State pass game and the way it was executed?
I thought the middle of the field was open a good bit, and Sean did a really nice job using the middle of the field. Parker Washington did well. You know, then they were able to – obviously, Jahan is a special player. And when they're throwing – I mean, I go back to Iowa. Sean threw it 25 times before he got knocked out with 12 and a half minutes to go in the second quarter. 25 passes.
Yep.
And that is just not typically Penn State football. That's, you know, that's what we've seen. But if that's what you have to do, you have to do what you have to do to win the game. And so, you know, we all talk about balance, but as James Franklin has talked about, you can have balance by using the short passing game as essentially your running game. And I'm not saying that they have to abandon the running game completely, because you can't just have your quarterback back there throwing 70 times. But Steve, have we gotten to the point where Sean has to throw 50 times if they're going to beat a quality opponent?
Well, I mean, it was enough to score 24, and then, you know, and then of course the big play of the game was the fumble recovery. But the deal with that was they were moving on that drive, too.
Yeah.
Defensively, five trips into the red zone for Ohio State, one touchdown.
Yeah.
What did you think of the Penn State defensive performance?
Well, Sean, that return six, that gave him a touchdown. And then there was the other turnover that gave him a field goal. So yeah. Ohio State scored 23 points, basically, off Penn State's defense. You'll take that any day of the week. When you've got a team that can score 40 or 50 on just about anybody, and you essentially hold them to 23, you'll take that all day. And I thought from a bounce-back effort, and you're right. Yeah, they gave up the 357 against Illinois, but only the 10 points. I thought the defense came back, and they've been great in the red zone all year. That, to me, is why Brent Pry is so, so valuable to the Penn State program. And every year when they start talking about the Broyles Award and things like that, I like to throw out Brent Pry's name as a candidate for the Broyles Award because he is just so valuable to what that Penn State defense does. And look, they've got good players. Joey Porter had a tough night with the penalties, but they've got good players back there. Joey's an NFL player. Jaquan Brisker's an NFL player. AK is an NFL player. Brandon Smith. I mean, you've got good players on that side of the ball.
There's no question. In fact, this year Penn State has given up 20 scores. It's only, well, I think low 70s in terms of scoring, but 20 scores in the red zone. 12 of the 20 are field goals.
Yeah, it's only impressive.
That's only 8 touchdowns out of 20 scores you've given up. That's impressive. I want to ask you about the Steel Chambers play because you brought up Joey Porter, and Joey Porter was penalized on the sideline for a personal foul, not targeting, because I think it was Wilson caught it. And in college football, he was on the ground when he caught it.
Yeah.
So that means
right.
The play's over. So, yes, it's a penalty. Done. So now let's get to Steel Chambers. He also was called for a personal foul, but then was hit with targeting and subsequently was thrown out of the game. What did you think of, not the personal foul, because Sean is down, but the targeting part of it? Because I'll preface it by Corey by saying, Jack Ham and I just looked at each other and said, why are they throwing this kid out?
You did not. His helmet did hit him, though, Steve, right? I mean,
yeah,
it did,
but, I mean, we kind of, I don't know. Maybe we're old school on this, but in other words, if he smacked the helmet, okay. But, okay, you go from there.
I am going to be in the minority on this. I already am. I've written about this. And I understand that people are going to disagree with me, and I'm okay with that. If you hit a dude in the helmet, you should be ejected. That's my feeling. This thing about intent. Did he intend? Well, if you don't intend to hurt somebody, they can still get paralyzed. Okay? Football is vicious. And what they're trying to do after football, and I'm talking the NFL specifically, after they hid rule information about concussions for decades and people's lives were, impacted tremendously, they're trying to clean it up. They're trying to make sure you don't hit dudes in the head. And then, so, again, everybody's going to disagree with me on this. I get it because it's a vicious, fast sport. I think that if you hit a guy in the head, you should be ejected. I just don't think you can – whether you intended to or not, Steve, I'm looking at football 30, 40, 50 years.
Oh, so are we. That's why the overtime rule – I think when I was talking about the overtime rule in the pregame – I said I felt like I was watching World Cup penalty kicks. I said, but I understand they're trying to preserve the sport. So I do get that.
Yeah. And that's the issue for me is what will football be like for the next generation? Because you've got to go in reverse. You can't just look at a play in a game. You've got to look at the number of kids that are no longer playing football. Moms and dads that are not letting their 12- and 13-year-old kid play football. Numbers are down drastically across this country for youth football participation.
Yeah.
Why is that? Because people are scared to death that their kid's going to go out there and get crushed, and it's going to hurt them for the rest of their lives. No, that's what football has to be concerned about. And again, I'll say it for the third time. Everybody might disagree with me on this, but I think that football has to be taught that there needs to be a severe penalty if you hit a guy in the head, and you can't judge intent. I mean, nobody ever really intends to just destroy somebody, although maybe sometimes. But if you do it, I think you have to have a severe penalty. So I really don't have an issue with the ejection, but I know most people are in college football too.
Well, I mean, the way we looked at those, if we see a guy square head-to-head, like square head-to-head, you know, or even like, you know, maybe, you know, enough of a helmet-to-helmet, Jack and I will say right away, because we feel the same way, I can speak for him, you should be out. But if it's one of those where they're like, boy, it's close, you know, it's that's where we get a little bit of an issue. We're watching the replay and we're like, okay, you know, you grazed them or whatever. That's where we, in other words, we think it's a personal foul. There's your 15, but not thrown out. That's the line we draw.
And I think the rule is probably going to be – there's so many people who are outraged by all these kids getting ejected. That you know, Joel Klatt mentioned it in a Wisconsin game. I think the rule is going to be adjusted, and what you and Jack are talking about will probably ultimately end up happening, at least you know for the short term. I think we're going to be visiting this all the time. I mean, all the time. Every 2, 3, 4 years, we're going to be visiting the impact of this. And as James liked to say, they really need to study this and see the impact. And that takes time to do. So I think what you're discussing is probably going to be the way it's going to go. And I would say even after the season and the off season, they'll adjust it. But again, I don't really have an issue with it because I think the number one thing far and away, more so than a kid being able to get to play in the game, and right. you got to protect everybody.
Right. No, I understand. See, to me, all those things should go to the league office the next day. Every single one that was a targeting penalty. And they should be able to determine the next day whether the player is out for the next game or not.
Okay, yeah.
Hey, in other words, we have all this technology. So say they were a total, let's just say there were 7 Big Ten games over the weekend, which I think there were. Now, maybe somebody had buys. It doesn't matter. Just say they played a full schedule. Say in those 7 games there were 4 targetings. What, you don't have the time on a Sunday morning to look at them to see if the player should be out the next game?
So you're saying let them stay in the game on Saturday and then suspend them for the entire next game?
No, I would say that under the current rule, the guy's out of the game, but if it's in the second half, you're out of the first half of the next game.
Right,
well, to
right.
me, you should be able to look at that and say, hey, look, you know what, we looked at it. We think he should be out the first half of the next game because we thought it was egregious. Or we looked at it and you know what? Throwing him out and the penalty was enough, he should be able to play the full game the next game.
I think that's reasonable. And then we also have to consider television angles and television games. Yep. Penn State's games are all going to have these tremendous replays available. What about Nevada versus San Diego State? Are they going to have as much TV?
Or cameras.
Yeah, exactly. It's always going to be difficult, you know, depending on the level of the game.
Here's the next one. Again, we'll start with my opinion, and then I'll let you think. I thought one of the biggest mistakes that the Big Ten made in its previous TV contract, and I made the statement before they signed it. I said, no 6-day windows. You should be able to tell 12 days ahead of time which games you want. Penn State, Michigan is now a 6-day window again. They make this seem like it's complicated.
You only hurt fans doing that.
Exactly.
Let fans have an idea. People got to travel. Again, especially these massive fan bases like we're talking about here, and you're planning your whole weekend over it. That's the business. I tell people all the time, Steve, college football is a professional sport. It is. It's a professional business. These are college kids, but everything about it, these decisions are made for money. I don't think that's going to change because they're always going to maximize the dollars and the profit whenever they can.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I know they pay a lot of money in rights. I got it. But you know what? What's the biggest reason you think TV ratings are up this fall?
I've not thought about that. I think, we've all just been through so much over the last couple of years that maybe we're kind of getting back to sports being that escape that we truly want. It's the first thing off the top of my head.
TV ratings, in my opinion, are up in part. Now, you're talking about a little percentage here, but the atmosphere is coming through the TV set, and I think it's a draw.
Yeah, I've heard you say that before. You can sit in your living room with your mask. Hey, look.
I think that they've got to have more respect for the fan being in the stands. That's why you don't need a 6-day window. That's my point, to draw it full circle.
Yeah, I think that's a really good point.
Yeah. All right. Hey, it was a pleasure having you on. You know, congratulations on getting to DK Sports in Pittsburgh. I think that's, you know, they do great work, and they're fortunate to have you.
Steve, thank you so much. You guys enjoy your day. Appreciate it.
All right. It's Corey Geiger. We're going to talk about the six-day window coming up in a moment. Again, the six-day window has nothing to do with me. By the way, John asked a question on Facebook, and I'm going to answer that right now. He asked, is Sean Clifford eligible for another year at Penn State? The answer is actually yes. So, John, you asked, can Sean take another year at Penn State if he wants to and play football? The answer actually is yes. Okay? I'd say I hope that answers your question, but pretty definitive, so it does. Back with more in a moment. Great to have you with us today on this Monday on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
The weather is getting cooler and the leaves are changing in central PA. Hi, this is Season from Purdy Insurance. If your current agent is falling short, it's time to give Purdy Insurance a call. We're a local, family-owned independent agency ready to find the right insurance to fit your needs. You can call us at 570-286-5855, stop in our office on Market Street in Sunbury, or head to our website at purdyinsurance.com to find out what we can do for you.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
And today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. Auto, home, life, business, boat, motorcycle, whatever it may be. We'll get you the right insurance so you're covered. The best price because you want to save money. Saving money is more important than ever before, unless you're wasting it on becoming a farmer for Halloween. Yeah, waste of money that was. Did you get your money back on that and candy? I mean, really, did you?
Get the lingerie on the deck. Call the janitor.
Let's be honest about it here. And the kids going out is barnyard animals. What the heck was that deal?
I thought it was cute.
And you think Jalen Hurts is an all-pro quarterback. All right, so. It's all at Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. We're in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, online at sunburymotors.com. All right, so let's get to a pet peeve of mine, but it's irrelevant when it comes to my life. I am very big on what the fans mean in any sport. I may have the best seat in the house, but part of that seat overlooks the stands. Over 100,000 in Beaver Stadium, whatever you can get into the Jordan Center, there is nothing like a big crowd that energizes the game and also energizes the broadcast. Fans attending are gold. And I have talked about this many times. So now let's get to the pet peeve. This in no way, shape, or form involves me. Not even remotely close. I work for a living. So my job is to be there, broadcast the game. My ability to get there, tremendously enhanced by the fact that I can be on the team plane, team bus, whatever. I don't have to worry about anything except making sure I'm on time. Okay, so they can start, they can kick off whenever they want, they can tip off whenever they want. My job is to be there, and they make life as easy as possible for me to be there. Okay? Now let's get to you, the fan.
For the second consecutive week, they have decided to do a six-day window for TV. This is a topic I've discussed many times before, but doggone it, every single time it comes up, I'm going to bring it up. The fan that pays the money for the tickets. The fan that pays the money for the parking. The fan that makes the investment of being in the stands to make a difference for their team. If you're a Penn State fan, an emotional, positive difference. If you're an Eagles fan, the right to boo and drag your team's performance into the mud.
No, senor! No, senor! No, senor!
Yes, Matt, your people. We tell it like it is. I don't understand why they're not responding to our boos.
Because they can't handle it. That's why.
Can't handle it? And how many championships do you have? Oh, you don't have hardly any. Okay. You don't think you could have pulled out a game or two with some emotion? Yeah, these people hate us. Yeah, I don't want to play for them. All right, good. But my point is that the fan, okay, TV ratings are up and you need TV ratings. You cannot have games where nobody's watching. I got that. But the emotion that comes through the TV set is provided by the emotion in said building. So now, the fan that goes to the game, and I walk through the parking lot, right? And the fans are phenomenal. But they're the ones that make the decision of all the entertainment decisions they can make. They decide on your game. Wow. Number two, after buying the ticket, and they probably had to make a donation to buy the ticket, they then have to get parking, which means they lay out more money again. Now, many are doing it for a football game with the privilege, and this really is only about football, right? Because I'll make another point. Well, in fact, I'll make the point right now. Name the only sport that doesn't have set start times 7 days before the game. What other sport can you think of? I can tell you right. We can tell you the hockey schedule right now. College, pro, all set. College basketball. What times the UMass game start for Penn State basketball? 7, we're on at 6:30. Okay, next Wednesday night, Youngstown State, 8:30 the tip-off, 8 o'clock will be the airtime. You want to see Indiana, January 2nd, got that one too. NBA, got that. NFL, when they flex a game, 3 weeks out. Right? It's 3 weeks, isn't it?
It is, and then when it comes to week 17, you still have a week noticed.
Right? I'm saying, okay, which is the only one that does this on a regular basis to its fans? College football. Are you kidding me? So the fan that goes to the game buys the ticket. So they've chosen you. Number two, they buy parking. Again, another big investment. Now when it comes to, all right, let's go. Who buys the gas to get to and from said stadium? That same fan. Who buys a hotel probably gets hit with two nights. Same fan. Okay? Or brings an RV up and pays money for RV parking and comes in to do that. And invest the time to be at your event. They also buy food for their tailgates. Beverages for their tailgates from Brewers Outlet, of course. So when it's all said and done, the amount of commitment made by the fan to be in the stadium is phenomenal. the universities, in this case, we'll say Penn State, Maryland, and Michigan, have zero to do with what I'm talking about. They want to know like you do. And I said this before they negotiated the last TV contract. I said it the day the TV contract came out. They should put in there no six-day windows. And they didn't do it. You are fighting more than ever to get the fan into the seat. You're fighting more than ever to get the fan in the seat. The TV contracts pay a lot of money. No getting around it. But these flex 6 days that they put in there are disgusting. A fan should know today what time the kickoff is for next week's game so that the fan can make their appropriate plan around when the kickoff is a week and a half before the game. And don't sit there and say, well, we're just trying to work out. Work out what? I'll go exactly to what I said in the postgame show on Saturday night. And you've heard me use this as a comparison before. On the degree of difficulty and secrecy, on a scale of 1 to 10, the Manhattan Project is 10 plus. The TV time for a kickoff for a football game is less than 1. Get it done. I mean, for goodness sakes. You can't figure out now what the good games are for the weekend? Really? Oh, we're the worldwide leader in sports. Then fine, act like it. Figure it out. Oh, we know more about sports. No, you really don't. I could sit here right now and I can tell you where every game should be right now. And so could you, the fan. And so could Matt. Suit's a little iffy. But, you know.
Oh, hey, my almighty!
When the suit is profiled for Susquehanna Life, tell Erica to call Matt, Doug, and me. What do you think?
I'll get right on that.
Well, cover story. You know, have them all like decked out in a jacket and tie and the whole thing. And then we'll get in there and we'll just verbally destroy them. It'll be great.
S-U-I-T. That spells suit.
And we won't have to make anything up. Some people are going to make up stuff about suit. No. No, this actually happened. Now, we'd have him interview. We'd have Erica interview the chief, but he's too nice.
You, sir, are my hero.
But you see my point on this? It's 12 days out. You can't tell me what the good games are? Really? Then you're really not that good at your job. If you can't figure out what the good games are 12 days out after having a full body of work of 8 games behind you, you're not good at what you're doing. In fact, you've got to be almost bordering on a complete idiot. Oh, don't say it. That was very harsh. No, I mean it. If you can't tell after 8 games everybody has played which matchups are the best ones to have, you're not good at what you do. Oh, we got to see how everything plays out on Saturday. You got to see how everything plays out on Saturday? Really? Again, this has no effect on me. None. Okay? Our job is to be there, and our ability to be there to do the job, no issue. None. You know, I do basketball with tournaments, and guess what? You know, you play in a tournament, you win, you start at this time, you lose, you start at that time, whatever. I've done games every day from 11:30 at night and 10 a.m. I've done a few 10 a.m. games in my career. Okay? It's just, it's a job. You know, it's just what, you know, it's an awesome job. It's a fun job. But, you know, but still a job. So, I mean, I show up to work when I got to show up to work. This has no effect on me. Okay? But boy, somebody's got to fight for the fan in the stands. And I'll fight for the fan in the stands every single time because they're the biggest difference makers on the planet when it comes to sports. My goodness. Right? You can't just sit there and negotiate a contract and act like an empty suit and go, oh, yeah, whatever you guys need. No. Okay? Fight for your fan in the stands. It doesn't take a genius to look at them and say, by the way, okay, you want our product. Great. We want your money. Great. But here's a caveat. No 6-day windows. We want to know 12 days out before every game so our fans can properly make plans for games. Am I being unfair here?
Not at all.
It's the only sport this happens. What time's this week's Eagles game?
1.
Yeah. Now, I'm not saying you do every kickoff time in May. I'm not saying that. But once you get into the season and you start to flow kickoff times, it's got to be done 12 days ahead. How difficult is that to put in a TV contract? It's not, unless you care or thought about it, and I don't think they thought about it. Well, oh yeah, whatever you need. Whatever you need? No, it's not whatever you need. Okay? Our fans who are paying a ton of the freight also have needs, too. You gotta fight for these people. You gotta fight for them. Right? This new TV contract's coming up, and we're fighting for all sorts of stuff. Right? Well, guess what? I respect anything you're fighting for, but guess what? When it comes to the TV contract, A, you should be negotiating it right now, and B, you should have that in as one of your clauses. It's just my thought. All right. And I hope we answered John's question. John did ask on Facebook whether whether Sean Clifford was eligible for another year at Penn State. He is actually eligible for another year if he chooses to use it. So the answer is yes. Back with more in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Throw gives to Kyren Williams, reverses field, eludes Fox, on the run Williams, highlight reel won by Williams, down the sideline Williams, chased by Gamble, 20, 10, what a run, touchdown, spectacular run, play of the year for the Irish.
For the game that was seen by 18 people,
come on now, that was a terrific play. That was one of the top plays of college football weekend.
Never saw it.
Oh, yeah, that was opposite of Penn State. Of course you didn't see
honestly,
it.
Honestly, I never saw it. I never saw the play. I'm sure it was spectacular. I think you're going to find out. I think it was a night game, wasn't it?
It was, yeah. It was exact same time as Penn State. I was flipping back and forth.
I think you're going to find that that game got buried.
Most likely. I mean, it wasn't a great opponent in North Carolina, but it was a heck of a play.
I'm sorry. It just doesn't have any national cachet to it. It just, you know what I mean?
Oh, no, I totally agree. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's the problem with it. Notre Dame football on NBC has been, I'll make this quick because I want to say something about our people. Has not been the ratings juggernaut I thought it was going to be when they did this in the late 80s, early 90s. When they went to the early 90s, I thought, wow, they're going to get a lot of people watching. It's been good. But that Notre Dame football rating-wise, when you look at it, I think people would be shocked. They not only lose, but lose big every week. I think that, you know, and that's not what I expected when they did this. This is not, has nothing to do with Notre Dame, Matt. Zero. I'm just saying my surprise that they don't hang in better ratings-wise compared to the CBS game and the ABC game.
Well, I actually do think that the on-the-field product is part of the problem because a good chunk of that early 2000s like the days of Tyrone Willingham, etc. Like there were some really bad teams, and I think that has to do with it. And there's been some other bad teams mixed into some of the success that they've had.
Right. Plus the schedule. Now we talk about the scheduling games. I mean, ABC, ESPN, CBS, they get the game of the week every week. You know, with Notre Dame, you might get, okay, they're going to play Air Force this week. Okay. They're going to play, so it's not USC every week. So I think that plays a role in, because they've got to go through a schedule that is not going to be murderer's row every week. I think it plays a role in the ratings we see. Can I say something quickly about Kevin and Dave?
Of course.
The two of them did a thoroughly phenomenal job this year with Shikellamy football. Kevin and Dave did. It is not easy because in their heart, they want those kids to do so well. And when a team has a tough season, and to have broadcasters do the phenomenal job they did with a tough season tells you a lot about the quality of guys that they are and the quality of broadcasters they happen to be. It's not easy for them to do a season that's tough. And yet they did it with complete professionalism and excitement. And that's why we're so proud to work with people like them. So I just wanted to say that before we move forward here.
100% agree.
What they did wasn't easy, yet they did it with great passion, excitement, and made it worth the listen. So thank you for doing that, guys. When Shikellamy starts playing great, man, they're going to be even better.